Thanks for joining us on Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle. We're here every weekend with messages intended to draw you deeper into God's Word. As you do that each week, you'll draw closer to Christ and know Him more.
Spiritual ministry's goal is not to find our identity in some important work or to fulfill our own personal potential. Spiritual ministry's greatest goal is to hear our Master say on that day of judgment, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Here's Rich with the background for the lesson today.
Well, welcome to Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles again to 2 Kings 2. We'll continue considering the story of this transfer between Elijah and Elisha, this mantle of ministry. And this story, I believe, is written for our benefit and for our encouragement. And one of those encouragements is for us to think about our part in the mission of Jesus Christ in our present world. You know, the mission of Jesus Christ often brings to us some deep discouragements, and we're tempted to quit, we're tempted not to start in the first place. And this story, I think, sort of revs us up and gives us some motivation and help to move toward the mission of Jesus and not away from it. If you've been in ministry in the local church, undoubtedly you've experienced some seasons of discouragement. Well, this story, it's such an uplift, and I believe it will help us overcome any discouragement so that we would re-engage with the work of Jesus in His local church. Let's open up our Bibles together to 2 Kings chapter 2.
The good news in this ministry of sharing with others the gospel, of urging them to come to know the Lord as the Lord and to worship Him, that you and I are not alone. Oftentimes, Elijah and Elisha were very much alone. But God places us in His church and His family where we get to serve in spiritual ministry to the Lord together. Every member of Jesus' church is given a spiritual gift to engage in this ministry that God gives to the whole church and to the individuals in it. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that our calling, it's not secondary to Elijah's calling. Our calling is just as spiritual, just as meaningful, just as eternally profound, just as vital. And so I want to ask you today, as you are present in our church family, are you engaging in the spiritual ministry that God has given to you? Wherever you serve in Jesus' church, our ministry's goal is to glorify God by simply pointing people to Jesus, by bringing them to Jesus so that they might know God through Him and that they might worship Him as God. So for instance, if you serve in the nursery, your goal is to point people to Jesus as Savior and Lord. Yes, it's important to care for the physical needs of these little ones. Care for them tenderly, care for them compassionately, care for them lovingly. But that's not spiritual ministry. Your spiritual ministry is to lead others, to point others to Jesus Christ so that they might worship Him. If you serve on the buildings and grounds team, your goal is to point people to Jesus. Yes, the grass needs to be cut. Yes, weeds need to be pulled. But our main goal is to share the love of Christ, to point people to Christ. Once I was at a church visiting with a pastor friend, and I went by a garage that they had near the church, and there was a guy in greasy overalls, and I said, I wonder what he's doing. It's early in the morning, and I said, "Hey, tell me about what you're doing here." He said, "Well, this is the ministry of the church. We fix cars for widows. We fix cars for unemployed." And he says, "But really, what we're about is to tell other people about Jesus. That's why I'm here." And I thought, that guy is doing spiritual ministry, just as significant as the pastor preaching or the Sunday school teacher's teaching. That person is set by God as one of the living stones in that living temple, worshiping the Lord by pointing others to Jesus Christ. How do I point others to Jesus? Well, we share the Word of God. What a great resource. It's a book of life. So we open it up and say, "Can we share with you a verse that God has shown to me today? It's so exciting. It was filled my heart with joy as I read this today. Can I share it with you?" We share our testimony. "Can I tell you how I became part of God's family? Can I tell you about the miracle that God wrought in me so that I could be forgiven, I could have a home in heaven?" And we share about what God is doing presently. "You know what, this week God did something that was a really hard trial in my life, and here's how God showed Himself faithful." You see, all those times, it's us speaking, pointing people to Christ. I know But even as I explain this to some of you, it's like, you know, that seems really awkward to actually use my words to talk about Jesus, to share a Bible. It seems really awkward. I know it seems awkward. That's why you need the Spirit of God to do it. God will give you courage. And you know what? As you do it, I believe you'll be filled with joy and that God will bring special fruit to encourage you along the way. The Church of Jesus becomes strong, influential, as God designs her to be when every member embraces spiritual ministry within her. Amen? The spiritual preparation now of God's servant. As we see Elisha in our story, we see pictures of spiritual preparation. We see a young man who's called by God into ministry, anointed by Elijah as a replacement, but then for 16 years, Elisha lives in obscurity before the Lord places him in a position of prominence. You know, I think of David when I think of Elisha because he too was anointed as a very young man. We're not exactly sure, 11, 12 years of age. He waited likely about 18 years. He was 30 when he became a king. So he's anointed as king. And then about 18 years later, he becomes king. What is he doing those 18 years? Well, he's doing a few important things like fighting Goliath and such. But the Lord's preparing him to be king. You know, God often places us in lowly positions so that we could be prepared to be God's servants. You see, spiritual ministry is not about gaining the attention of crowds. It's not about being in a position of power to be able to make decisions. It's not about being in the spotlight. It's not about being able to write a great letter telling how many people were influenced by your ministry. Spiritual ministry is first just simply saying, Lord, whatever you have me to do, I want to do that. That's what I want to do. Because it's about you, it's your ministry, and it's for your glory. There's two points of preparation I want to bring out from the story. First, spiritual ministry is a place of humble service. God prepares us for spiritual ministry by opening doors to serve him in the most humble places, doing the most humble things. In Mark 9, there's a story of the disciples traveling, walking to Capernaum, and the Lord comes and says, hey, what are you discussing? You're walking on the way. Well, they were really quiet. They didn't want to say because they were discussing who's going to be the greatest. And they knew that that wouldn't really be a great topic to tell Jesus that that's what you're talking about. And so Jesus then says to them, if anyone would be first, he must be the last of all and the servant of all. Well, you'd think that they would have caught on to that ideal, but only one chapter later in Mark 10, now the disciples are arguing who's going to be able to sit at Jesus' left hand and right hand when Jesus rules as king in the kingdom. And Jesus said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. They're interested in authority and power, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it is not so among you. It's not so in my church. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man, God, come in the flesh, came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, the disciples missed ministry for so long because they were asking the wrong question. They were getting nowhere in spiritual ministry because the question they were asking was not the concern of the Lord. And Jesus prepared them for spiritual ministry by changing the question that rolled through their souls. You know, I'm convinced that too many followers of Jesus never find their place in spiritual ministry in Jesus' church because they're asking the wrong questions. You know, we are prone to ask, what do I have time to do? You know, what fits into my schedule? Or what will be the most fulfilling for me? What will give me the most sense of meaning for my life? Or what will I enjoy the most doing? I don't see any servant of God in all of Scripture asking these questions. What is the question that will propel us into spiritual ministry, into a position where God would use us? The question is, Lord, I'm your servant. How do you want me to serve you today? I'll do anything you ask. Please just open a door for me now. If you're not engaged in ministry in the local church, in Jesus' church, I believe if you pray that today, I believe today the Lord will show you an open door. I believe that. Say, I'm just your servant. I just want to do anything that would strengthen the gospel witness for you in your church. Open a door for me. Show me an open door. I believe that today the Lord will show you an open door. It might be a humble door. It might be a lowly door, but it'll be a door that leads you to bringing God glory. Spiritual ministry's goal is not to find our identity in some important work or to fulfill our own personal potential. Spiritual ministry's greatest goal is to hear our Master say on that day of judgment, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The second preparation is persistence through discouragement will be necessary if we are to serve the Lord. God prepares us for ministry by leading us through some very discouraging situations. If you've ever embarked upon ministry and taken the first step, undoubtedly you've had your toes stepped on when you take that first step, or you've stumbled and tripped over some obstacle and gotten discouraged. Three times Elijah says to Elisha, "Hey, why don't you stay here, take it easy, while I go to the next place?" Why is he doing that? Why do you keep telling Elisha to stay here? Because Elijah's testing Elisha to see if he has the persistence to push through discouragement. You see, if Elisha is discouraged enough by Elijah's verbal question, then surely there's going to be something else in Elisha's life that will take him out of the game, that'll cause him to quit upon the Lord. Jesus says this in Luke 9, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Preparation is a preparation to help us persevere when things get rough and discouraging. Third, spiritual power of God's servant. We've talked about spiritual ministry. We've talked about spiritual preparation. Now spiritual power. If Elisha learned anything in these 16 years of watching Elijah humbly serve the Lord, he learns that he doesn't have the ability to fulfill the Lord's ministry in his own strength. In other words, he's learned, I need the Lord. If I'm going to do the Lord's work, I need the Lord. And so on the day that Elijah is to be taken from him, and when Elijah says, "Ask for anything," Elijah already knows what he's going to ask. It's been his heartbeat. It's the first thing on his mind. Without a moment of hesitation, he says, "Please give me a double portion of your spirit." He's asking for the blessing that a Jewish dad would impart to his firstborn son. He's asking if the same spirit in Elijah would be his spirit. What kind of spirit is that? He's asking for a spirit of faith, to trust in the Lord when it seems like the Lord is absent. He's asking for a spirit of obedience, to submit to the Lord when the Lord's commands seem hard and frightening. He's asking for a spirit of courage when the world stands against him, when Satan opposes him with threats and with violence. He's asking for a spirit of prayer, to believe that the Lord hears his cries and answers him. That's what he's asking for when he asks for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Now, Elijah knows that he doesn't possess these things because he's such a great man. He knows he's weak. He's a weak human like the rest of us. And so he tells Elisha, "Hey, this is not for me to give." But the Lord is gracious. When he sends you into a work, he will always provide you with the power to fulfill it. The Lord is generous to give you exactly what you need. Here's the truth. Spiritual ministry can only be accomplished by God's Spirit upon us. We must not attempt to do spiritual ministry in our own strength. We must not. And this is why many get into ministry and then just get so discouraged, because maybe beginning in the strength of the Lord and utter dependence and in prayer, we begin to rest upon other things like our experiences. I've taught Sunday school so long, I can do it in my sleep. We begin to rest upon our training. I went to seminary now. No one else has been to seminary like I've been to seminary. We begin to rest upon our personalities, upon our talents. We begin to rest upon our own resources. We begin to rest upon our life wisdom. I've been through a lot. I know what to share. Beloved, none of these are enough for us to fulfill what God is calling us to do, because it's a miracle that God is calling us to turn people to the Lord, to bring people who are rebellious against him and to see them become worshipers, living God. Only God can do this miracle. So here's the application. Ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit to give you a spirit of faith, obedience, and courage. Ask with the purpose of bringing glory to God and not bringing glory to yourself. Ask with the goal of fulfilling the ministry of the Lord. The Lord loves to give the Holy Spirit to those who humbly ask. Ask and keep asking. As Zechariah 4 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, says the Lord." The spiritual baton of God's servant. Every servant of God will one day be replaced. Do you know that? Every servant of God will one day leave their place of ministry. And it is vital for those in spiritual ministry to pass the baton of ministry along to others. It would be wrong for us to cling to our place too long. We must not make our identity our service to the Lord. We must prepare others for the ministry that we currently hold. You think of Moses, he prepared Joshua, Elijah prepares Elisha, Jesus prepares the 12, Paul prepares Titus and Timothy. It is the Lord's design that those in ministry work to prepare the next group. How do we do this? Well, if we're serving the Lord, let's take again the analogy of nursery, God would have you to prepare to pass the baton. Now, passing baton is not because, I'm just so tired of doing nursery. I've got to get somebody to replace me. That's not the motivation. The motivation is, I want to see the church so full of servants who understand spiritual ministry, the spiritual ministry of nursery, of talking to parents and praying with them and finding out what's happening in their lives and praying over these kids and having influence to make rebellious peoples into worshiping peoples. All ministry is Jesus' ministry. We're simply servants and stewards of it for a time. Oh, how much stronger the ministry of Jesus' church would be if everyone engaged in ministry would also be laboring to pass the baton. This story is as much a story of Elijah's passing the baton as it is a story of Elijah's departure from this world. The story doesn't climax with the chariots of fire. The story climaxes with Elisha taking up Elijah's cloak. It ends with Elisha walking back to the promised land through a divided river, and it culminates in Elisha's readiness to take Elijah's place. So I urge you, pass the baton. Pass it quickly. Pass it securely. Stay engaged with the baton, because that might be a long process. Elijah was holding on to the baton all the way to the end, so don't give it up too quickly, but also be ready to pass it. And if there is a time to pass it, God will give you another baton if you still have energy and purpose from him. But pass the baton so others can learn and grow. So the last piece we want to look about ministry is the spiritual departure of God's servant. What an encouragement. What departure can we expect to experience on that last day if we have engaged in the Lord's ministry and if we fulfilled the course that God has called us to run, if we finished the work that God has given us to accomplish? What kind of departure could we expect? And I believe that Elijah's departure is not an anomaly, but rather Elijah's departure is in many ways just sort of the normal departure of God's servants. Now, Elijah does depart from this world in a really dramatic external fashion. Chariots of fire, horse of fire separating Elijah and Elisha, whirlwind sweeping up under Elijah's feet so that this man who one day asked the Lord to take his life now never dies physically. Yet the important matter is not how Elijah leaves this world, but where Elijah goes. The text tells us that Elijah went up by a whirlwind, where? Into heaven. Elijah, as God's faithful servant, departs from this broken, fighting, sinning, dark world and enters a complete, peaceful, righteous, light-filled world. Where Elijah is to this day and on forever and ever. So Elijah is ready to depart from this world. Why? Because Elijah knows where he's going. I don't know about you, but when we had a little family with kids, we'd pack up the car. You know, a lot of packing, pack that minivan jam because we're going to be gone for a week, and you just load it up as much as you possibly can. And then after everything was ready, we'd get in the car, and I'd turn to my wife and said, "Hey, where are we going?" No, that never happened. No, if you're making all the preparation to take a journey, you know where you're going to go. Now, maybe some of you have done that. Some of you are maybe great adventurers, and maybe that's what you do. But I don't, tell me your story, because I've never known anybody who's done that. When you start to pack and prepare, you already know your destination. And that's why you're ready to depart, because you know where you're going. There's so many people who are not ready to depart from this world. Why? Because they don't know where they're going. If you know where you're going, let's get going. We're ready. But if you don't know where you're going, then of course there's fear and there's trembling. I love what Jesus says in John 14. "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." And Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" He's confused. And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He says, "Thomas, if you have me, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. I'm going to lead you straight to my Father's house. Here's the truth. Everyone departs. Not everyone departs to the same place. If Jesus is with us, he will lead us safely to his Father's house. If Jesus is not with us, we have no hope of arriving at the Father's house. So do you know where you're going when you depart from this world? You see, what the Bible tells us, if Jesus is with us, then we know because he's going back to his Father's house. He always has a true north, and that north is the Father's house. And if he's with us on the day that we depart from this world, whether through death or through rapture, we know where we're going because Jesus is with us and he's taking us there. If you do not have Jesus with you, if you've not believed in him, if you've not trusted him as your Savior, then he is not with you. And there is no finding the Father's house. There is no entrance into the Father's house apart from him. And so I ask you, do you know where you will go when you depart from this world? And if you're asking questions, I'm not sure. I would say look to Jesus today. Look in faith to him. Call upon him. He's willing to be your Savior. He's willing to be your shepherd. He's willing to be your king. Call upon him. Believe upon him. Jesus tells us about a poor man named Lazarus who all his life had to beg for bread in order to live. And Jesus says this, when Lazarus died, he was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. I love that. He was carried by the angels. We're just giving these stories, real stories, to help us understand what's going to happen to us. And I can tell you, if you're in Jesus, this chariot of fire that is a chariot of protection, in other words, God's going to make sure you're protected on the day you die and depart from this world. And he's going to protect you all the way to your home in heaven. And as you pass through this veil where the demonic world and where there's sin and death that's chasing after you, the chariot of fire will be your strong protector. The angels themselves hold on to you. And the moment you take your last, God is there to protect his own people all the way safely, safely home. What a joyful day our departure will be if we are in Jesus. What would you do if you were told that this were the last day of your life on earth? If you've not made yourself ready for that day, make yourself ready. If you have made yourself ready, then you know that the purpose for you living this day is the same purpose that you've had prior from the moment you met Jesus, and that is to serve him, to engage in the ministry that he's given you for his glory.
Rich will have some closing thoughts about today's message in a moment. Would you tell others about Knowing Christ Radio? We love to have new listeners join us as we try to know Christ more and more each week. Here's Rich.
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We pray that this radio ministry would encourage you in your walk and worship and service of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus did give his church a mission to fulfill. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you are a member of his church. And I want to encourage you at the end of this message to simply take an action step. And one action step is to connect with the elders of your church or to connect with your senior pastor and just say, first of all, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for our church family. I'm praying that we will fulfill the mission that Jesus has given to us. And then ask the question, and is there any way that you think that I might be used by God to strengthen our church and the mission that Jesus has given us? Well, I believe God will use that question, use that conversation to open up some doors for you, to open up opportunities, to open up to you a whole new joy in your life, a whole new purpose. And so won't you consider that to connect with your pastor or your elders and talk with them over this mission of Jesus?
Here at Knowing Christ, we're so thankful for our listeners. The comments we receive are such an encouragement to us as we hear how God is at work through this ministry. Would you spread the word? Invite a friend to tune in on this station to hear Knowing Christ each week. And check out our website where you can send us a note or listen to these messages again. Thanks for listening. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.